CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Bill Raggio and Tom Jostin of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. The Kabul tragedy underway. The attacks on the Hamid Karzai International Airport. Tom, I come to you on this because as it is difficult to explain the linkage between the Haqqanis, Al-Qaeda, and the Taliban, it's deliberately difficult to explain the linkage between the ISI, Directorate S, Haqqanis, and Al-Qaeda. At this point, do we accept that there is some linkage, but that we can't explain it, and that the ISI has knowledge of what's going on in Afghanistan, but we're not certain whether it's operational knowledge? How is it right now, Tom?
You know, John, I think it's actually easy to explain these relationships if you just, you know, we've been paying attention to the evidence like we have, three of us have, for so many years. You know, I mean, I think other people are invested in obfuscation and playing what I call disconnect the dots when the evidence is right in front of them. I mean, look, when it comes to the ISI's role, the Pakistani ISI's role in this, this is no secret in Washington. You can go through a series of State Department reports in which they say the Pakistani ISI, this is the Inner Services Intelligence Directorate of the Pakistani Military Intelligence Establishment, has been openly housing, harboring, facilitating, supporting, sponsoring, you pick the adjective or the way to describe it as you want, the Haqqani network and other senior Taliban leaders throughout the entire war. This is not really a surprise. So when the Haqqanis take over Afghanistan and they played a big role in the Taliban's win here, this was also a win for the Pakistani ISI, which in fact had been doing this all along. Now, look, when it comes to explaining all this relationships of it, the way I've described it is as a wheel of jihad, where the Pakistani establishment, the Pakistani ISI, supports and works with, again, choose however you want to describe it, the senior Afghan Taliban leadership, including the Haqqanis and others, and facilitation networks and all sorts of facilitators who work for both Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. Those groups are intertwined with Al-Qaeda, which is intertwined with the Pakistani Taliban, which is and other factions, which are coming back and attacking parts of the Pakistani state itself. And so that's why it's a wheel. That basically on the top of the wheel is the Pakistani ISI and the Pakistani establishment. One tick away is the Afghan Taliban. One tick away from that is Al-Qaeda. And one tick away from that is the Pakistani Taliban, which comes back to attack the Pakistani state. So look, I don't think this is very hard to explain in terms of what the Pakistani ISI has been doing here. I don't think it's hard to explain the Haqqanis, the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, and this overlap between them. I just think that part of the failure of this war is that for much of the last 20 years, people in Washington have been invested in explaining it away instead of just explaining it.
Bill, another shadow land, Tehran. What do we know? What can we imagine is a linkage between Tehran and the Taliban and Al-Qaeda these many years?
You know, just as Tom said, you know, it's easy to see these linkages if you just pay attention. The same goes with Iran. There's reams of evidence of the Iranians providing weapons, bounties to kill American and Western troops and Afghans, training camps inside of Iran. Iran has a whole unit of its IRGC, Quds Force, detailed to do this. There's credible reports of Iranian operatives going into Iran to serve an advisory role alongside the Taliban. Now, I want to be clear that Iran's role in Afghanistan is nowhere near the degree of magnitude that Pakistan's role is, but it played a key. It helped. It was very helpful. And guess what? The Taliban won. This is undeniable. People continually try to explain it away by saying it's impossible for Sunni and Shia to work together, even though we have direct evidence that they do. And the same goes for Iran and Al-Qaeda. We know that Al-Qaeda leaders sought refuge there after 9/11. They were put under some form of house arrest. I would put that in quotes, just me personally. We know that Al-Qaeda has plotted attacks, or it's been reported that they plotted attacks against the West from Iran, that Al-Qaeda leaders have gone back and forth across the border. There's a special deal between Iran and Al-Qaeda that is explained. There is detailed by the U.S. Treasury and designations, you know, again, on and on. And instead of people wanting to recognize this, look, whatever you do with your policy vis-a-vis Iran, That's one thing, but you have to recognize the facts of what is happening. Just because I'm sitting here saying Iran has ties to Al-Qaeda, Iran has ties to the Taliban, doesn't mean we should go to war with Iran necessarily. It just means, but you can't make decisions unless you have an understanding. And people fear that the policymakers fear that if you admit these things, that there are these relationships exist, then therefore the case for war becomes stronger or something like that. I'm a big believer, and I know Tom is as well, of just recognizing facts for what they are and then crafting policy based on it. This disconnect the dots, as Tom so perfectly put, over the years, it's done because people fear the repercussions for recognizing that the dots are indeed connected.
Tom, Moscow was beaten badly in Afghanistan. It failed so badly the Soviet Union failed. Now, these many decades later, Moscow is said to be in coordination with Tajikistan to provide security. But the U.S. now has left Central Asia. We've departed. Does that benefit Moscow? Does Moscow look in upon this as a success? What is your measure, Tom? We have about a minute.
Look, I think Moscow and Beijing are both happy to see America humiliated. I mean, you're now seeing a low point in American power and leadership. And I think they see what Bill and I have been talking about for many years, unfortunately, is that there's been a series of failures here by America's leaders. We're in a leadership crisis.
Right.
And it needs to be, somebody needs to step up. People need to step up to start actually leading us. Otherwise, we're going to be in bigger trouble.
Tom Jostin, Bill Raggio, they keep the long word journal. They are also the producers of Generation Jihad, their podcast. And when they're not overwhelmed with requests to document the ongoing tragedy, which is fog of war, extremely difficult. You call upon all your resources and you come close. When they're not doing that, they're producing a podcast I highly recommend, going back months and weeks to see the pattern that both Tom and Bill and their colleagues also saw leading to the tragedy at the Kabul Hamid Karzai International Airport. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.